Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this evening is from the Gospel according to John, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, if you really take the time to hear the words of John tonight, and specifically these words, "We have seen his glory," these words will change your life. Imagine, if you will, the first time that you saw the Grand Canyon, or the first time that you saw your baby smile, or the first time you noticed a sunrise, or the first time you had seen a wild creature that you never had before, or the first time you saw the new puppy that your parents brought home. You see, our sight is really quite incredible. It lets us experience so much. It lets us see the amazing wonders of God's creation and try to make sense out of it all. But what if you were blind? What if you never knew the colors of a sunrise? What if you never knew where the dimples were on your daughter's face? What if you never knew how many colors God could put into a field of flowers and never have them clash with one another? I'm fairly certain to say that none of us really thinks about our sight. None of us really understands what it is to see until our sight is taken away. Whether it's through our eyes degenerating, whether it's because of a surgery, whether it's because we just knock ourselves out on the playground, whether it's because all of the power were to go out and God missed his cue, but that's okay. The darkness is frightening, right? Yes, we have other senses that we can use. We can hear, we can taste, we can smell, we can feel. But when our sight is taken away, everything is disorienting. And on Christmas Eve, as the church has celebrated this throughout the centuries, we're invited to finally see again. Once we were blind, but now we see. We're invited to shake off these blinders that have been put over us by sin, by death, and the devil. And finally look at Jesus, the Lord of all creation, born of a virgin, laid in a manger. We're invited to see the glory of God. And it is laying in swaddling cloths in the place where sheep and oxen spit as they feed. I think we in the church are most often, I think we can be easily blinded to glory. If you've been in the church for a long time or are so familiar with the church that you kind of know what's coming next in the service or so familiar with the church or hearing the Bible on audiobook or podcast or whatever it is, you're so used to hearing the story about Jesus that I think it loses some of its meaning. It kind of becomes like a bedtime story. Right? It's like when I'm putting my son to bed and he tells me he doesn't want to read any of the books that we have in his room, and we have a lot of books in his room, and he wants me to tell him a story. He's done this a couple of times, and I try to tell him this, and he's really excited about the story. He's listening as we go along, and then as soon as he falls asleep, he forgets the whole thing. And I could tell him the same story the next night, and he'd forget it the next day too. And that's, I think, sometimes how the story of Christ is for us. We hear of all of these things that happen on the night of his birth, and we're overjoyed. I mean, this place is beautiful. We've got the lights going, the trees lit. All of the candles on the Advent wreath are finally lit as well. I mean, this is going to be great. And then we wake up tomorrow, and we just kind of forget. The story of the birth, the reality of the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. It's not just some story, it is the story. In fact, it is the only story that matters. This Christmas, we need to find a way to look at the story with the amazement of children who see their presence on Christmas morning. We need to see our Lord born into our flesh, taking on our sin, dying our death, being resurrected for our life, and we should marvel. We need to be like Mary, who, when seeing all of these wonderful things happening around her son, and even hearing of the blessings that he would bring and the pain that she would endure, What does it say that she did? She treasured up these things in her heart. So even as she watched her son bleeding and dying and gasping for breath and the sword piercing her heart, that emotion as she watches her baby boy crucified for her, that she could even hold on to these and take comfort, because this is the Lord of all creation dying for his mother. We need to be those who see with eyes of faith, that we would find ourselves in the story, not as stinky shepherds or glorious kings, but simply as those who he came to save. That's your role. See, we need to see Jesus. That's hard, isn't it, to think about this? We can't go back in time to when he's born. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen Jesus come and sit in the pews bodily with us while we gather together. He's ascended into heaven. He's ruling all things. He's awaiting the day of his return. He's still active in his creation, but he is not here bodily. I mean, we, with our eyes, we cannot see Jesus right unless we die or he returns. But by faith, Jesus has given us eyes to see him in his word and in his sacraments. He gives us the eyes of faith to see that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. Because when two or more are gathered in his name, he's always going to be in the word, which is always going to be there. He's given us eyes of faith to see that we're invited into his story, into his redemption, into his resurrection. And we can stand there with Mary and Joseph, and we can stand there with the disciples as he is transfigured. We can stand there and watch his crucifixion. We can stand there and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whose sandals John is not worthy to untie. And it's not done because we push ourselves to imagine these things. It happens because our Lord is giving us the very words of those who were there, who watched him, who stood by him, who wrote them down for you. You see, we see by faith through those who saw. We see, we understand, we believe. And what's the point of it all? To see his glory. I don't know about you, but when I think of glory, I think of that which is God's. I mean, honor and blessing and might and power. When we think of glory, we think of his miracles. We think of him walking on the water. We think of him healing the sick. We think of him feeding the 5,000. We think of him raising the dead. All of these things happened, but that's not his glory. Jesus tells us that his hour of glorification is none of those things. It is when he is lifted up above the world, not in brightness or victory, but in what seems like defeat. The glory of the babe of Bethlehem is when he's lifted up on the cross, broken, beaten, naked, crucified. That's his glory, his bitter suffering and death. And this little child whose birth we celebrate this night was born for one reason: to die. The little hands that would grasp his mother's fingers would be nailed through. His kissable little belly would have a spear shoved in it. His perfect round head would be ringed with drops of blood from the scraping of the thorny crown. And his back, which he would lay on and coo at his mother and father's faces, would be whipped open. The baby Jesus came to die. And that's what we have eyes of faith to see. This is glorious. Not that a baby would die, but that all of it is for you. It is all to win for you the forgiveness of sins, the entry into everlasting life. It is all for you, and you're invited to see. You're invited to see the one who created life itself die. You're invited to see the one born for you, die for you. And you're invited to see the one from whom all gifts are given, raised from the dead that you might live forever where he is. See, the glory of Christ on the cross is the glory of his incarnation, that taking on of flesh at his birth. We see this glory yet today, as through the cross, the Lord loves you. Through the cross, the Lord forgives you. Through the cross, he comes to where you are, especially when you gather in this place. And when finally you see this, when you realize just how marvelous an act of his coming is, this will change your life. It's more beautiful than the Grand Canyon. It's better than your baby smiling at you. It's more vibrant than a sunrise. It's more wild than the beasts. And it's better than any pet brought home. Because our Lord, God himself, dwells with you. Dwells with us. Always and forever. He is in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So tonight, come and see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.